When Sam got out of the shower, he dug his phone out of his discarded clothes and headed for the kitchen. Pouring himself a glass of water, and not knowing what else to do, he sank into one of the chairs sitting at haphazard angles around Steve's small kitchen table. He had a text message. It read, "The cat misses you." Sam sat there for a long time, twiddling the phone in his hands, his gaze running over the words of the text message again and again as he absorbed them, until his eyes began to film over. He shook his head, blinking sharply, because he was not going to fucking cry. "Hey, Jarvis," he said, clearing his throat. It was weird talking to the empty room and knowing it would answer back. But if Steve could get used to it, so could Sam. "Is Steve in the tower?"
"He's in the gymnasium, sir," Jarvis answered crisply. "Shall I summon him for you?"
"No," Sam said, a little too quickly. "Thank you."
"Of course, sir."
Sam was imagining things, projecting onto the robotic voice, because no robot, not even one built by Tony Stark, was capable of emotions. And therefore, there was no way that there was a note of pity in Jarvis's voice. Sam sat there for a moment longer, tired and aching, and tired of being tired and aching. Then he pushed himself decisively away from the table. It was time to go home. It took him a matter of minutes to pack up his stuff, and then he was ready to go. He took one last look around to make sure he hadn't forgotten anything, and his eyes caught on the wings he'd left on the table, folded up neatly in their closed jetpack shape. He paused, reaching out to run a reverent finger over the smooth casing. For about half a wild second, he considered trying to take them with him, but he forced himself to turn away and head for the elevator. When the elevator came to a stop on the ground floor, Natasha was there, waiting for it. She raised an eyebrow when she saw Sam, and then wiggled it.
"Need a break already?" she said,
in a tone that implied she knew exactly what Steve and Sam had ended up doing when they got back to the tower. Sam didn't want to think about that, or anything else she was implying. Luckily, he was saved from answering when she got sight of the bag in his hand.
"You're leaving?"
"I'm going home," Sam said shortly. He liked Natasha, but he had never been in less of a mood to talk before. "If Steve ever pulls his head out of his ass, tell him he can call me." He hoped that would be enough for her, and judging from the way her mouth pinched into a thin line and her eyes went hard, it was. "I'll get right on that," she promised, stepping purposefully into the elevator. Sam kept walking. By the time Sam made it back to his house, he could barely keep his eyes open, and it seemed like one of the most beautiful sights he'd ever seen. There were a few books spread out on the kitchen table, and a blanket crumpled up on the couch, but otherwise it looked the same, and Sam let out an unconscious breath of relief. A part of him was desperate to talk to Bucky, but he was far too tired for the conversation that they really needed to have. So he decided to wait and headed for his bedroom instead. As it turned out, Sam could both go to bed and see Bucky at the same time. He found Bucky sprawled out across what had somehow become Bucky's side of Sam's bed. Bucky was curled up on his side, one arm tucked under his pillow, the other stretching out across the empty half of the bed. The sight made the knot of tension and misery in Sam's chest loosen a little. Sam wasn't sure how or when it had happened, but seeing Bucky fast asleep in his bed felt truly like coming home. The cat, who had been sleeping on Sam's pillow, noticed his presence first. She stood, stretching her whole body from toes to tail as she yawned, then leapt delicately off the bed. She meowed, winding herself around Sam's legs a few times, before trotting off toward the kitchen. Bucky jerked up. Though he stopped just short of pulling the gun that Sam was pretty sure he was holding under the pillow.
Sam? He asked, squinting at him in the near darkness. I thought you weren't coming back until tomorrow.
Technically, Sam said, dropping his bag carelessly in the middle of the floor. It is tomorrow.
You know what I meant, Bucky said. He'd relaxed again, but he was still half sitting up in bed, watching Sam. Sam stripped down to his boxers unceremoniously. He'd started wearing a shirt and shorts at least to bed, since he'd been sharing it with Bucky. But right then, he was just too tired to care. Besides, Bucky wasn't wearing a shirt either, so it was only fair.
I miss the cat, Sam said, deadpan as he crawled between the sheets and flopped down on his pillow, careless of the cat hair.
Bucky smiled a little, but it didn't last.
Did something happen? He asked. And as nice as it was to hear the concern in Bucky's voice, Sam flinched a little from the question.
I'm going to sleep now, Sam announced, evading the question with an exhausted lack of finesse.
Sam could feel Bucky's gaze prickling against the back of his neck, but thankfully, Bucky didn't press the issue.
Okay, Bucky said after a moment.
He settled himself back down on the pillow and pulled the blanket around himself. They lay there in silence while Sam hid himself in his pillow and took several deep breaths. Reluctantly, he rolled onto his side so he could face Bucky.
We'll talk about it, about everything, in the morning, Sam promised quietly.
Bucky rolled his head to look at Sam, studying Sam's face in the darkness.
Technically, it is morning, Bucky reminded him, his lips twitching a little.
Sam swatted at him with a spare pillow. Once Sam had settled down again, Bucky rolled onto his side, reaching out and dropping an arm over Sam's waist.
I won't disappear again, Bucky promised, his voice nothing more than a whisper in the space between their pillows.
Sam swallowed against the lump in his throat and impulsively shifted closer to rest his forehead against Bucky's shoulder. They were asleep within minutes.
When Sam woke up, it was to Bucky pressed up against his back and Bucky's flesh arm draped over his waist. It was a position that Sam was getting used to all too quickly and liked a little too much.
Something did happen, Sam said quietly, once he was awake enough to speak.
He knew that Bucky was awake, and somehow it was easier to talk about it like this, almost naked and tangled up in Bucky's arms, without needing to look at him.
Between me and Steve.
You had sex, Bucky said. His voice was pitched low, but matter of fact, it wasn't a question.
Sort of, Sam admitted. He felt guilty all of a sudden, like he'd cheated.
Why did you come home early? Bucky's arm tightened around Sam, and Sam felt the tip of Bucky's nose brushing against the nape of his neck. Sam couldn't be sure, but it felt like absolution.
It took Sam a minute to answer. He could still see Steve's expression as he walked away, the one that said, "You're not him."
He still loves you, Sam answered at last. He hated how his voice cracked, just a little, on the last word.
Sam wasn't sure how he'd expected Bucky to react, but he certainly hadn't expected Bucky to press a kiss to the juncture of Sam's neck and shoulder.
Steve can love more than one person at once, Bucky murmured. He's done it before.
That made Sam pull away enough to turn around. He needed to see Bucky, to know if Bucky really was as calm as he sounded.
And he does love you, Bucky continued.
He let Sam pull away, withdrawing his arm from around Sam's waist and shifting to prop himself up on his elbow.
I can hear it in his voice when he's talking to you.
I knew you were eavesdropping on our conversations, Sam accused, because he needed time to process what Bucky was actually saying. Bucky ignored him. Bucky's gaze was fixed on the blanket pulled between them, and he picked at a loose thread as he spoke words that seemed to come slowly from somewhere deep within him. Words that he'd been waiting to speak for a while. I still don't remember everything, Bucky muttered. But I remember most of it. The important stuff, I guess. Mostly it's jumbled and out of order. But I know him. I know, or at least who he used to be. Sam let Bucky talk, afraid to interrupt him, afraid to break the flow of words that had been bottled up for so long. It's in his laugh, Bucky continued after a moment, licking his lips as he searched for the next words. He has different laughs for different people, and how he laughs when he talks to you? He doesn't laugh like that very often. Sam opened his mouth and then closed it again. He wondered if the last person Steve had laughed like that with had been Bucky. Probably, Sam was willing to bet. He wondered if it hurt Bucky to hear that laugh aimed at someone else. Impulsively, Sam reached out and covered Bucky's hand with his own, stilling his motions before Bucky could tear a hole in the blanket. Can you love more than one person at once? Sam asked quietly. Bucky's hand twitched under Sam's, and though he didn't pull away, he did studiously avoid looking at Sam. He didn't answer for long enough that Sam was starting to worry that he had pushed too hard, that Bucky would run away again. I don't know if I can love anyone anymore, Bucky said at last, his voice very quiet. He hesitated, his jaw working as he struggled with himself. But I think, he started again. I think I'm ready to try. He looked up then, meeting Sam's eyes. There was something almost hopeful in Bucky's eyes, and it struck Sam down to his core. I think, Sam said, his lips twitching a little, that I'm going to need you to kiss me now. Bucky's lips curled and he complied. The kiss was nothing like the last one, which had been all anger and desperation. This one was sweet and slow, tentative and exploratory all at once. The tension went out of Bucky as he sank into the kiss, and Sam pulled him closer, curling his fingers in the soft hairs at the nape of Bucky's neck. It was nice to forget about everything for a while. To just lay in bed with Bucky's body warm and solid beside him. They exchanged lazy kisses and soft touches with no real purpose or urgency to them. They didn't break apart until Natalia leapt up on the bed and climbed over to Sam to sit purposefully between them and stare at them both expectantly. Bucky raised an eyebrow at her. I think someone is hungry, Bucky observed, as Natalia watched him unblinkingly. That makes two of us, Sam admitted, though he pulled back reluctantly. Time for breakfast, then, Bucky said. He scooped Natalia up, uncaring that he was wearing nothing but a pair of Sam's sweatpants, and stood. It's 12:30 in the afternoon, Sam pointed out, checking the clock as he too rolled out of bed. Have you eaten yet today? No. Time for breakfast, Bucky threw over his shoulder as he headed for the kitchen. Sam laughed, reaching for the nearest pair of sweatpants and shirt he could find before following Bucky. Giving in, Sam pulled out the ingredients for pancakes while Bucky fed the cat. Sam was in the process of ladling the first pancake onto the griddle when a sharp and persistent knock on the door interrupted them. Sam set down the pitcher of batter carefully, exchanging a confused look with Bucky before going to answer it. The knocking didn't stop, but remained a consistent, energetic tattoo against the wooden screen all the way until Sam opened the door. There stood Steve, his hair wild and his eyes tired, his whole body seeming to vibrate with built-up tension as he braced his hands on either side of the door.
"I'm sorry," Steve blurted, before Sam had even finished fully opening the door. "I'm not really good at this, at needing people or wanting them. And I'm really not good at accepting that maybe they want me around too. And I panicked. I was unfair to you. I've been being unfair to you for a long time now. And I..."
Sam just stood there, holding the door open and staring at Steve, dumbfounded, while Steve rambled. Steve didn't even really stop for breath until he stopped entirely, his whole body going deathly still as his eyes fixed on a point somewhere over Sam's shoulder. Sam turned to look at what had made Steve stop, though with the dawning horror of a nightmare, he had a feeling he already knew. Bucky stood in the hallway behind Sam, his face pale and his eyes wide as he stared back at Steve. Neither of the two moved while Sam stood, stuck between them. "Steve," Sam started, unsure what he could actually say, but knowing that nothing could be fixed while they remained in the standoff. Steve's eyes snapped to Sam.
"How long?"
Steve asked, his voice very quiet. Sam opened his mouth, but nothing came out. To both of their surprise, it was Bucky who spoke. "He didn't tell you because I asked him not to," Bucky said. He was closing the distance between them slowly, each movement stiff and deliberate. Steve glanced between them a few times, then deliberately turned on his heel and walked away. Sam moved automatically to go after Steve, but Bucky's metal hand landed on Sam's shoulder, stopping him.
"I'll go," Bucky said, heading through the door. He didn't chase Steve like Sam would have. He just walked stubbornly in the direction Steve had gone. Sam was left behind, standing in the doorway and staring after them like an idiot for an embarrassingly long time.
Eventually, he returned to the kitchen, turned off the stove, and dumped the burnt crisp of a pancake into the trash. And then, something inside of him snapped. He found his phone, completely unsurprised when he found that a number labeled Tony Stark had been programmed into it. "So, about those fun toys you mentioned," Sam said, without bothering with a greeting, as soon as the call was picked up.
"So, you and Cap did do it," Tony said. "Congrats! Clint owes me $50.
Sam grit his teeth. "This has nothing to do with Steve," he said firmly. "This has to do with me and what I have to offer. So what do you say? Do you have room for me?"
"It'll take a little while to get your floor decorated," Tony said, and his voice was somehow triumphant.
"That won't be necessary," Sam cut him off. "I won't be living in the tower." Tony paused for a moment.
"Fair enough. But you are going to have to be living in New York."
"I'm aware of that. So, I'm in?" Sam absolutely did not hold his breath while he waited for Tony's answer.
"Welcome to the team, Wilson. You've got a week. Training starts Monday."
After they'd hung up, Sam texted Natasha. Then he dug some cardboard boxes out of his garage and started packing. He was in the living room, packing his books, when the front door opened and closed. Then, a few seconds later, opened and closed again. "Sam?" Steve's voice was tentative and uncertain.
"Living room," Sam answered neutrally.
Steve came into the room slowly, pausing when he saw what Sam was doing. Bucky was just a few steps behind him. Sam forced himself to remain focused on his task. After a moment, Bucky gradually moved into the room and sat down on the couch, watching Sam. Steve continued to stand awkwardly in the doorway.
"Are we going somewhere?" Bucky asked,
his voice casual, as though he didn't care,
as though nothing major and life-altering was happening. "New York," Sam answered. He closed the box he'd been filling and stood, turning to face them both. "You're looking at the newest Avenger." Steve blinked. "You're moving into the tower?" "No, I'm moving into an apartment near the tower." Sam paused, glancing at Bucky. "It's up to you, Bucky, if you want to join me." Bucky shrugged. "I've got nowhere better to be," he said. "Sam," Steve said, frowning, "if this is about..."
"This is about me," Sam cut him off. "This is about what I want."
Steve studied Sam for a moment, then nodded.
"What about..."
Steve paused, glancing between the two of them uncertainly. Steve licked his lips uncomfortably and cleared his throat before he finally finished with, "Us." "I can't speak for Bucky," Sam said, glancing at Bucky, who remained seated on the couch, watching the two of them calculatingly. "But I think we have a lot of talking to do, the three of us." Steve looked like he was expecting to be hit, and Sam's response caught him by surprise. "But for the record," Sam added. Slowly, he crossed the room, closing the space between himself and Steve. "I want you, Steve, a lot. I get that's not an easy thing for you, and that you're scared as hell, because I am too. But you don't get to call all the shots. From here on out, we're in this together. So I'm coming to New York. And you, Bucky, and I are going to have a lot of very difficult conversations in the coming months. And we're going to work something out. Deal?" Sam glanced pointedly at both Steve and Bucky. Bucky stood, coming over to join them. Carefully, he reached out and took Sam's hand.
"I'm in," Bucky said, giving Sam a small smile. They both turned to look at Steve expectantly. Steve fidgeted, glancing between them. Bucky held his free hand out to Steve, a silent offer. And slowly, after a long minute, Steve took it.
"We'll work something out," Steve agreed quietly. "Together." The end.
Reader's notes. This was recorded for the 2014 Pod Together Challenge. Thank you to Indigo Knight for your patience and understanding, especially when you had wanted to get this done earlier so that the project could be part of the Marvel People of Color exchange. But there was just no way that I was going to be able to get this recorded in time. So you made other arrangements. I appreciate that. I hope that everyone listening to this enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun recording it. If you'd like to read or download this project, it can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/1963917. Thanks for listening.